I am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs and the Locked On Podcast Network. And later on tonight, your San Antonio Spurs will face the Memphis Grizzlies in their first meeting of the regular season, and also will be at the AT&T Center, where the Spurs actually have more success than they do on the road. Hopefully that will play into the Spurs factor. Now look, the Spurs are coming off a very lopsided win versus the Pelicans. We'll talk about that in a while. And they're coming into tonight's contest versus the Grizzlies at 8-8. Now, they have won two games in a row at home, but the Grizzlies, don't let the, maybe the way they start fool you. The Grizzlies are playing well right now. They got 11 games up on the win column. They're coming off a win over the Dallas Mavericks. So while the Grizzlies are riding high, the Spurs are kind of riding low. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do keys to the game. For what your Spurs need to do to escape the AT&T Center with a W, and probably my guest today, which is Joe Garcia, Two Shots Podcast. I think Joe, let me go bring you on right now. I think you have a few choice words for San Antonio right now. You're not a happy camper. So why don't we get that out of the way first? We talked about it before we recorded.
Yeah.
You did not like the way they looked against the Pelicans. So before we talk about the Grizzlies, what did you see versus New Orleans in the big loss, 140-126, that makes you feel a little uneasy about the season?
Oh, man, the Spurs are in trouble, man. This team has some major problems, and one of those problems that stands out for me, you know, right off the bat when I'm looking at this team play, is that interior defense. I mean, that interior defense has been atrocious. You know, they can't stop opposing teams when it, you know, in the middle. You know, the opposing teams are just pounding the Spurs with, you know, in points in the paint. They're just able to get to the rim with ease. It's like if there's not even anybody there, you know, guarding the rim or there at all. The opposing teams are just firing on all cylinders and just running the Spurs out of the court, you know, out of the gym, basically. I mean, this Spurs team is in dire need of some, you know, I don't know what it is. They might have to make a trade, but the way this current team is structured, even with the return of a Paul Gasol, even with Lonnie Walker in the lineup, this team has problems, man. I think that if they keep losing, we might see them flirt with maybe making a trade before the trade deadline is, you know, going to be coming up here in February, you know, with the All-Star break and stuff. So we'll see, man. Winning cures all. But right now, I mean, on the road, they're 2-6. They just can't get it together. And that's a recipe for a disaster, Jeff.
Yeah, look, will the Spurs make a midseason trade? Highly unlikely. Historically, the Spurs don't really do that, make a big, ginormous trade middle of the season. Usually, what team they go to war with to begin the season is usually the team they go to war at the end of the season. But you're right, Joe, in the sense of it's not looking good. They're 8-8 right now. They're coming off another road loss to New Orleans. You know, and they started off that game great. They kept it competitive at the end of the first half. It was 68-67. They're only down a point. Third quarter, second half, they got annihilated.
Yeah.
The Pelicans scored 70-plus points on the Spurs. The Spurs only managed 50-plus points in that second half. They were their own worst enemies. 15 turnovers for the game, 25 Pelicans points. They got decimated in the paint, largely because of Anthony Davis, who does most of his damage, and, of course, Julius Randle. But all in all, after the game, when DeMar DeRozan was not happy, and I'm paraphrasing here, he told us reporters after the game, it's unacceptable that a team like New Orleans or any team put up 140 points on them. They have no defense, Joe, right now. That's the issue right now. There was just no defense whatsoever being played. There's no effort. And what makes me think that this team is schizophrenic, that's almost like they're Jekyll and Hyde. They go out and beat a team that, yeah, maybe was emotionally hurt, but they still had Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant and hold them to under 100 points for the game and make life miserable for Kevin Durant. 8 of 25 shooting for KD off some stellar defense. And then they go against the Pelicans and they just lay an egg on the defensive end and allow 140 points for the game? I mean, that is just – they're just weird. And I think – yes, partially that has to do with the road woes. You mentioned that they're horrible on the road, and they just can't seem to get it going. And if this is how they're going to play on the road right now, imagine that Rodeo Road Trip coming up. They may have a losing record at the end of the day with that Rodeo Road Trip and really doom any chance they have to make the postseason, Joe.
No, I agree with you, man. I think that Rodeo Road Trip's either going to make or break their season the way they've been playing, you know, and if they can't put some wins together soon and figure things out here shortly, you know, with their road woes and it keeps continuing, that they're going to be in big trouble. They're already in trouble.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think what's really going on too is the decline of LaMarcus Aldridge is something that you got to, you know, scratch your head on. It's like, why does he play so good at home? But then when they get on the road, his, you know, productivity just drops, you know. 7 points isn't going to really cut it. He needs to score in at least double figures, especially when they're playing on the road. It's hard to get wins on the road, and you need everyone firing on all cylinders. And I've been surprised with, you know, the decline of LaMarcus and especially with Derek White. I mean, the last couple of games, it's like he's gone through a shooting slump, and against the games against the Pelicans, he only had 2 points. That's just not going to cut it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, LaMarcus Aldridge, he I give him credit in the sense that he's bringing it defensively. He is rebounding quite a bit. When he does have nights where he's struggling from the field, it's not too surprising to see him double-digit rebounds. So I like that. But the problem is that offensively, DeMar can't do it on his own. I mean, he almost could, but he can't. And, you know, you need him too. You cannot have games where Dante Cunningham is your leading scorer after the first period, or up there among the first, you know, top scorers at the half. It's gravy if he does it, but that's not a good sign. LaMarcus had a horrible night shooting versus the Pelicans. Look, let's be honest. So did DeMar. DeMar did rally in the second half, but he didn't really have a great night shooting as well. It's just a bad mix right now. Do you blame or you point the finger at the fact this is a new team, a new roster? You know, gone are stalwarts like Duncan and Ginobili and Parker and Kyle Anderson and Danny Green and Kawhi Leonard. Maybe that could be a reason. You know, you lose pieces that were integral to your defensive end of the court. It's going to show, and it's showing right now. The Spurs, if they can't get it done defensively, then they got to get it done at least try offensively, and that's not even working of late. Again, this team is just so, you know, there's such a head scratcher. You go out and beat the Warriors and you lose to the Pelicans like the way they did on the road. You go out and beat the Rockets and then you drop one to the Pistons. What is going on here? So that's kind of what the state of the Spurs is right now. They're just so one game good, one game bad, and that's why they have an 8-8 record. And as of right now, they're looking out in at any type of playoff positioning. And I know that's way, way too early, but in the NBA, every game counts, every win counts, every loss counts. And the Spurs right now are racking up too many losses. But at the same time, they got 8 wins. So hopefully, you know, they can at least kind of stay afloat and turn it on as the season rolls on. Joe, let's go ahead and take our first break, because we really went off on this tangent here. But when we get back, we're going to finally talk about the Grizzlies game and our keys to a victory for San Antonio. So hang on tight. Okay, we are back, and I am joined by Joe Garcia, the very upset and livid Joe Garcia, about the silver and black. Now, Joe, you know, you got it off your chest. Let's start fresh. Spurs-Grizzlies tonight. Spurs are 800, 8-8. They're going into the friendly confines of the AT&T Center. When you look at this game, what is the first thing the Spurs have to do to get a W?
They got to protect the ball. I mean, they got to watch those turnovers. You know, this Grizzlies team, they're third in the NBA in their defensive rating. So they play defense very good. And they are last, almost dead last, when it comes to pace, meaning the term, the grindhouse, is back. You know, I'd have to say the grindhouse is back in Memphis, because that's how they've been playing and winning. So they're going to beat you with just a half court set, you know. So the Spurs are going to have to play very smart, and they're going to have to, you know, pass the ball quite well, I think, in order for them to really try to get, you know, any type of good looks, because like I said, the Grizzlies are a great defensive team. So the Spurs are going to have their look, you know, their work cut out for them.
Yeah, look, and I agree with you. The Grizzlies, they got Marc Gasol, baby brother of Pau Gasol. They got Mike Conley, who's coming off a 28-point outing versus the Mavericks. They also got Kyle Anderson. It'll be Kyle Anderson's return trip to San Antonio as well. Who's been playing okay, I guess, but they're, he's still getting adjusted to his team. So they're coming in riding high. They're young, they're athletic. They can get up and down the court. It's something the Spurs have struggled with this season versus younger teams. Case in point, the recent loss to the Pelicans. Joe, for me, it comes down to one basic thing that they've done so well to start the season, but they kind of fumbled of late. Take care of the ball. As I mentioned, 15 turnovers versus the Pelicans, leading to 25 New Orleans points. Cannot do that again and again and again. They were among the league leaders as far as preserving the ball and valuing the ball, and they're still up there, but you're seeing a trend towards them coughing the ball up too much. Joe, is it sometimes the attention to detail that gets in the way of San Antonio? Think about it. If they just hold down those turnovers versus the Pelicans, they got a shot to get that W.
Yeah, they do. But I think this is one of the Achilles heels for the Spurs that we're seeing, and it's right there in front of us, but I don't think we've really, I guess come to terms with it. I don't think this team's a very good passing team is what it boils down to. They can create their own shots, we have some dynamic players that are really good, shooting off the ball, like you got a Bryn Forbes who's a good spot up shooter. You have Marco Bellinelli. Good little in between game, 15-foot jump shot. He's money, going beyond the arc, dropping some threes. But when it comes down to like the beautiful game that we once saw, when we had these players for the San Antonio Spurs that were really good, they were really good at passing the ball. I don't think this team is very good at passing the ball. And I think that's why we're seeing this amount of turnovers, and lapses, and why are they passing the ball in traffic, or why are they doing it? It's just that they're not very good at passing. I think that they need to get back to that. I mean, get back to basics and learn what a bounce pass is, a good bounce pass. When do you pass the ball? When do you not pass the ball? It's like you see that missing this season, and it's been right there in front of our eyes since the beginning.
Yeah, look, do you point the finger at the fact that they don't have DeJounte Murray on that floor? Yeah, maybe you don't have their floor general. And let's face it, Derek White, although it was happy times when he came back, he really hasn't been doing that well outside of maybe a game. He's still struggling from the field. He's still having low assists. He's still having high turnovers. He still may need some grooming. And now, look, do they need bodies right now? Of course, that's why he's on the bench right now. And he's been slotted to the bench now after starting. There's just so many factors that are mixing in right now, leading to why the Spurs are just simply coughing the ball up, rushing plays, trying to do too much, having the ball in the hands of a Derek White who's inexperienced, or a Patty Mills who's not necessarily a natural point guard, Bryn Forbes. Now, those guys have been doing yeoman's work, and they've been holding the fort down, and kudos to them, but it's still not the same. This Spurs team just simply can be their own worst enemy, and we saw that versus New Orleans. Joe, when you're looking at the Grizzlies, I see size. I see Marc Gasol, and he's having another great season. Is he another key to the Spurs getting a win? They did a great job holding a guy like Kevin Durant to forcing him to fight for his points. Can they do the same versus Marc Gasol?
I think they can do the same versus Marc Gasol. I mean, of course, you're not going to be able to contain him, but you can slow him down and make him work for his points, So the problem with the Spurs, though, I think one of the things they need to do is, yeah, and you need to, kind of slow down Marc Gasol a little bit, but they need to defend the wing. I mean, these teams are kind of like spreading the Spurs out, and they're just dropping dimes on them, man. They're just, they spread them out, they pass the ball quite well in the middle. And it translates to an easy layup, a dunk, a lob, and that's what keeps happening to the Spurs because they're just not very good at defending right now. They're not a very good defensive team, and I think they just need to get better at defending the wing and staying with their man. I think it has to do a lot with miscommunication. I think they just need to learn how to effectively communicate what's happening on the court. I think that's the biggest issue on the road.
Well, here's the thing for me. I think when I look at tonight's matchup and I'm looking at Marc Gasol, unfortunately, I think Marc Gasol may have another field day.
Yeah.
LaMarcus Aldridge versus Anthony Davis. We saw how that went down. You know, and whether it was not Anthony Davis, I mean, LaMarcus on Anthony Davis, whether it be Dante Cunningham or Poeltl or even the kid, Eubanks, you know, didn't really matter. You know, Davis had his numbers. Marcus all could have his same night, too. Little LaMarcus, you know, he struggles. He's been struggling of late. He's been having his slump right now, and there's been some plays defensively. I don't remember the game, but if you go back and find it, there's a defensive assignment that LaMarcus blew, and Patty Mills looked at him and kind of shrugged his shoulders in essence saying, what happened here? What's going on? Look, do you forgive LaMarcus because he's playing the five spot and not a natural position? Maybe you do. You kind of say, okay, fine. That's not his position. You know, will the return of Pau Gasol help? Yes, I think it will help, but it's not that much of a big difference maker for the Spurs are going to rattle off 15 in a row and get back in the thick of things. I don't think that's going to happen either. So all I want from that matchup is just to hang tight. LaMarcus, do your best to make life miserable for Marc Gasol. Gobble up then rebounds and give the Spurs second chance, third chance opportunities, and do your best offensively. His jumper is off. His mid-range shot is off. I mean, Joe, we saw in a couple of games where he was missing point-blank looks at the rim. I'm not saying there were layups, but they were just shots that he normally takes. Joe, in my opinion, you may agree or disagree, I think that is what could come down tonight, the matchup between Gasol and LaMarcus, who steps up.
Yeah, that's an interesting, you know, matchup to say the least to watch, you know, because that's a battle of the bigs going at it under the rim, you know. But I think one thing that we got to watch for, too, is guard play. I keep coming back to guard play. Yeah. The Spurs need to be able to have a good showing out of their guards. I mean, Bryn Forbes has been consistent, but we need a better showing out of Derek White. I don't know, you know, he needs to break out of his shooting slump. He needs to do something. But we need to have our guards play great. You know, if our guards, both of them, can play good, I think the Spurs have a good chance. You know, but if the guards can't get it going, their shots aren't going in early, it could be a long night for the Spurs. I think the Spurs are going to stay competitive with the Memphis Grizzlies because the Memphis Grizzlies like to slow down the game. And the Spurs can play that style of basketball. But I think one of the advantages that the Spurs are going to have over the Grizzlies is they can run on the Grizzlies. You know, the Grizzlies like to try to get back in transition, but they're slow. So I think the Spurs have the upper hand when it comes to fast breaks. So I would like to see more of that out of the Spurs tonight. I think if they can run on the Grizzlies, they give themselves a better chance at winning because you're not going to beat them at their own game and that, you know, that half court. You're going to have to run on them.
And the Spurs had themselves a tall task ahead of them. Mike Conley, as mentioned, he had a 28-point outing versus Dallas. He's been playing great this season. You're looking at guys like Bryn Forbes, Patty Mills, Derek White, possibly DeMar DeRozan trying to slow him down. But this guy, you know, I always felt that he's one of the most underrated players in the league, and he's showing it. He's putting up good numbers for Memphis. He's steadying their offensive attack. And defensively, he's not that shabby as well. So the Spurs definitely have their hands full trying to slow down Mike Conley, who might be the heart and soul of this Memphis team. Joe, let's go ahead and take our last break. When we get back, let's go ahead and put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs and give our final thoughts. Okay, we are back, and I'm joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. A great site for all things Spurs. Follow him on Twitter at Two Shots Podcast. Joe, before we put a wrap on this episode, are you cool down now? Or are you still a little upset about your silver and black guys?
Yeah, I'm just upset with the showing. You know, I'm upset with the way they've been handling things on the road specifically. I don't know what's wrong with this team. It just seems like they're kind of in flux, and we know that they can play better. And I think the frustrating thing for us as fans is knowing that they're trying and the team is getting frustrated as well. You know, it's like, not like they're not trying to put in the effort every night. They're trying to do the best they can. They just need to figure some things out, you know. So this season is a season of patience, man. And I think Spurs fans, their patience is starting to wear thin, Jeff. We need some wins.
Yeah, no, look, you know, before, you know, we put a wrap, you know, I want to circle back quickly to guard play tonight versus Memphis. Look, I think the move of Derek White to the second unit is going to do him wonders. He fits best with that second unit. I think the ball moves better with him in that second unit. The problem is just, although he has a good knack at getting to the rim, I believe he hovers around 60, 65% shooting at the rim. It's his outside shot. You know, it doesn't fall. And I think if he can just knock down a couple shots tonight versus Memphis and still attack the rim as he's been showing, I think the Spurs could be okay and maybe give them a puncher's chance versus Memphis. But all in all, look, are the Spurs slumping right now and not looking like Spurs of yesteryear? Of course. But those days are gone now. The golden era of the Spurs is over. You know, that big three glory days is over. This is a new regime. And these guys, they want to make their own stamp on this franchise. I think they tip their hat to the past. And I think having TD and Manu around helps, but they need to forge their own path. And right now, they're struggling in that path. Right now, they're trying to find that path, and they'll get there. And I still believe the Spurs will get there in the end. And I think everything is going to hinge on that rodeo road trip once that comes. Because if they're showing that they cannot play well on the road so far early season, that could spell doom for them. But as far as tonight's contest as well, I think the Spurs just simply have to give a defensive effort, do the little things, take care of the little things, control the tempo, take care of the ball. Get LaMarcus Aldridge going. If they just have LMA and DeMar DeRozan going on their offense, I think everything will fit into place because that gives them an inside-outside threat that Memphis has to deal with. So I'm expecting the Spurs to reestablish that. They're at home. LaMarcus plays well at home. He played very well versus the Warriors, and hopefully he'll duplicate that again at the AT&T Center versus the Grizzlies. Joe, I'm going to say the Spurs pick up their third home win in a row. In a narrow window, I'm thinking about maybe 98 to 95. Spurs get the W. What are your thoughts, Joe?
No, I think if the Spurs can take care of the ball, you know, and they and get going early, that's the key. You know, again, you got to get in rhythm early. You got to get those shots to fall early. And the same, and we've seen this thing happen again and again with LaMarcus specifically. If he doesn't get going early, he just can't seem to get himself back into the game. He does, you know, contribute on the defensive end, but the key is take care of the ball. Get going early, get in rhythm early, and I think they're going to give themselves a good shot at winning this game at home. I'm picking the Spurs to win by 2 points. I'm picking them, you know, I'm thinking the score is going to be like 105 to 103.
Yeah, and if the Spurs definitely need any interior help, they may have to do it without Chimezie Metu, who yesterday was assigned to the Austin Spurs. He could be just there for the one game. I think Austin plays against. Are you familiar with your G League teams, Joe? I don't know about you. Lakeland Magic. That's who they're playing. They're playing the Lakeland Magic. So, you know, depending on if he stays with Austin or not, they could be They could be down a man. I doubt it. I think the Spurs will recall him. But if they do not, then that means more time for Pirtle, for Eubanks and LaMarcus to do their thing there. They're going to be without Bertans, who's in the NBA's concussion policy. Joe, did you whack him on the head? Is that what happened?
I wish I did, man. Did you hit him on the head? I wish I did because he's been shooting pretty poor right now. So maybe that whack on the head would do him some good.
I know, right? But no. But so hopefully the Spurs will have a full complement of players as best they can tonight versus Memphis, and they recall Chimezie Metu. But that's about it. We want to hear what you think about tonight's game. Email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at @JeffGSpursZone. And Joe's going to tell you everything you need to know about Two Shots Podcast.
Yeah, you can follow us at Two Shots Podcast. It's all spelled out. TWOSHOTS Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also check us out on the internet at twoshotssa.com.
There you go. Give Joe a follow, please. He's a great follow. Always has the Spurs 411. So for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.